radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. Today is March 15th, 2017. I know that there was some drumbeats about the world's going to fall apart because we have this budget crisis today, but I haven't seen anything happen yet, so that's a good news. So yesterday we had a plan to interview with Nancy Newell, and I was unable to connect with her, but I talked to her after the show, did a little bit of rearranging, and Nancy Newell is with us. She's a citizen activist, has been very active, and in fact has worked on committees that really did shut down nuclear power facilities. So, Nancy, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much. My pleasure.
Well, yeah. Well, look, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, what are you working on currently? What's your big, what's your activities entail these days?
Well, I visit some of the 28 public utility districts, they're called, public utilities are only serving supposedly for keeping costs competitive and also providing electricity to areas that commercial groups wouldn't even provide to. FDR made sure that there was an electric supply system like the Bonneville grid, which is through Portland, the single largest grid in the world, that people in rural areas would have the comfort and capacity of electric service. So we're the role model when they initially established the Washington Public Power Supply System. And, of course, the headquarters is in Portland. And the fellow that's responsible for the continuation of one of the oldest plants in the country, which is shut down 25 times, which is a record. And we're hosting it on the Columbia River at the Hanford Reservation, right alongside all the nuclear waste, right alongside other operations that are dangerous. So it's probably on a target list as far as how easily susceptible we are to some kind of weird attack. And it's not a comfortable situation to live in, so people have tried for years, and four governors about 13 years ago said that's enough from the Northwest, because they foresaw that energy efficiency would be one of the biggest solutions to energy costs and building new plants. And they were very wise. But unfortunately, Bonneville has not followed through. We are stuck with this plant for 32 years. It has just cost us, I think, over another $200 million to keep it going when they easily could have shut it down, because the market test that was established by four governors of the Northwest 13 years ago said, you can't compete. Shut it down. So they're operating illegally, except for the few times that they look inexpensive because of the tremendous water supplies we're getting because of global warming. We get more hydropower. So it's a cycle that is self-defeating, is causing more cancers than most areas in the United States, and the health care costs are not even considered externalities. And now you've got workers at the plant that are suing because workmen's compensation will not pay their hospital bills for the horrible cancers they have from working in the nuclear power plant, as well as working at cleaning up the waste.
What's the reason that workers' comp says they won't pay the bill?
They have no reason. They're just, that's it. And that was before Trump came in. So there's major lawsuits, and there's a lot of pressure on the building trades union, because they're the ones that most of them still support the continuation of operating that plant, because in that area that gives people work, but they could get work easily through energy efficiencies in that area as well as solar. And since they've got the fourth largest, fastest growing city in the country in Kennewick, because of the amount of federal money that's poured in to clean up the waste, primarily, they should take advantage of all the things that have improved instead of continuing this operation.
What could people do to support the workers up there that are trying to get their rights asserted? I mean, what is there anything that the public can do to put pressure on some agency to treat these people equitably?
I mean, you could try with the NRC, but that's a lost cause. It has been a lost cause for a long time because they don't enforce and very often will alter some of the regulations. They just extended this old plant. I think it was 3 decades that it can continue to operate. They won't have to relicense.
I mean, 30 more years? You're saying they don't have to relicense for 30 more years?
I think it was 30. 30 years,
30
yeah.
More years on top of how old it is?
Yeah.
So they plan on running it 50 years?
Yeah, they're saying it's working great. They just did all the modifications, spent a fortune doing it, $250 million. And they're going to prove, once again, just like when they started originally, this will be the cheapest electricity, the most reliable, et cetera. And we are tied to that plant in the city of Portland. People don't realize this. They think because Trojan closed that we're all done with nuclear. Well, we're far from done. And so we are tied to it for no electricity. We don't get any electricity when we're paying into our rates. $250 million we could save easily if that plant closed, I believe, in a couple of years, and then $1 billion over 8 years, which is a substantial amount of money in today's world as far as the people not having the jobs, et cetera, and the technological changes, and Google moving into Portland, I guess. So we really have to watch our P's and Q's to keep people healthy in the community, and that's not a way to do it.
Well, this is the issue. What can we do? I mean, it seems to me, you know, every single community that I've talked to, and every community across America is negatively affected by nuclear. There isn't one community that is not. But in every single community that I've talked to, government agencies all have a deaf ear. They're not hearing it at all. And what you've been doing this a long time, Nancy. Was it always like this? Was it always just the deaf ear where they absolutely refused to do anything different?
Well, unfortunately, it's the public power entities in the Northwest, because they're so tied, especially in Washington, the state of Washington, with the Trident submarines, nuclear submarines docked in Tacoma, that the psychology is to keep it going no matter what. And it's hard to change that psychology because we've created a debt in our states, both Washington and Oregon. The United States is in horrible debt. And we just operate in this psychology of almost the roaring 20s, except nobody's celebrating. We're all getting sick. So that's the sad part of it. I mean, the ingenuity of it is phenomenal, because California has proved under Governor Jerry Brown and all the wonderful people from the Sacramento Municipal Utility District that got off their nuclear plant, energy efficiency and solar from San Diego all the way to the northern border of Oregon, of California, and then to Wyoming, the eastern border, is now solar and energy efficiency. No more dirty fuel plant buildings. No more transporting, you know, the fuel from other places through electric grid of Bonneville, except for the nuclear plant and just a few gas plants. But they have proven it, that it's cheaper. And my friend who wrote the book, Who Owns the Sun, that I brought into Da Vinci Middle School in Portland probably about 10 years ago, Dan Berman out of Sacramento, he became a public utility commissioner in the state of California, popularly elected, and he was one that introduced the whole concept of customer choice acquisitions. And people can choose off the grid what they need, but they don't need much because they're using energy efficiency and solar. And they proved it. And Germany has done the same thing, and they're getting off 5 nuclear plants. They have the same weather we do, and we should be doing that right now. But we've got a vested military nuclear electric consortium. It's very tough to change.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yesterday on the radio show, I read a clip from John Goffman's book about how we're all dealing with anxiety because we're forced to participate in a grid that we know murders people. I mean, that's the unconscionable part. We know we're murdering people, and there is nothing we can do about it. But just turning on our lights means that somebody in our community will die because we're using this electricity from nuclear power. That's about as simple as it gets. You know, you said something that piqued my ears was that it's like we're living in the roaring 20s. That really to me, Trump reminds me very much of Hoover. I've thought about this many times before, you know, when he got elected right as the crash, right? That's how FDR came in on the heels of Hoover. And it's almost the same mentality that it's, but this time the stakes are just so much higher. We do not have an option to, it's not like it was 40, 50 years ago. Now we know, and now the stakes are tremendously higher with nuclear in the picture. I mean, so let's get back to what you have been doing. When you said you've been meeting with the power electric districts, the, what'd you call them, power?
What utility districts they're called? Yeah.
Yeah, now that's like at where the people that you get your electricity from, is that what you mean? Like out here we have eWeb, you go and meet with them or talk to them, or what do you do?
Yeah, they're a contrast to the investor-owned utility like we have in Portland, Pacific Corridor's one, which is owned by Warren Buffett of all people, and then PGE, Portland General Electric. And so the publics are supposed to serve the public good, which is provide jobs, keep the rates low, use the best possible environmentally and economically sources for the production of electricity, all those kinds of dictums that are part of their charter. And they formed this, it was originally 88 people that bought into the Washington Public Power Supply System, all these small utilities, mostly in Washington, that are public. And all they have to do is make sure they provide the electricity. And the other part of it is at a reasonable cost and provide services. Conservation and energy efficiency is one of their big, because they don't have to make a profit for stockholders like the private utilities do. So they should have an advantage. And instead, what has been created from nuclear power is a huge debt and difficulty of honesty, openness. If you call the Bonneville Power Administrator, who I have called over the last 5 months, probably 6 times his office, you never
Me
get
too.
Him.
You mean Elliot Mainzer?
Yeah. And
I've been helping him. They actually don't. They haven't actually answered any of my calls. I keep calling them, and they're like, yes, thank you, click. That's it. The last time I called, I guess it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago there, they said, well, I said, so I'm never going to hear from this guy, am I? They're like, man, we can't tell you that. I said, look, how many times have I called you and asked for an appointment just to talk to his secretary? They're like, ma'am, I don't answer for them. I'm sorry. I mean, the anxiety of people that are working there, this is the issue, is how cruel the whole system is all down the line. Because the people working there know that they're part of a heist and they need a job. It's the most unconscionable thing. So the PUD, the Public Utility District, that my eWeb is part of PUD.
Yeah.
Correct? So
That's correct.
Now, these types of utility districts, they're around the country, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, what happens tomorrow and later on in this month, I have two men coming on my show. A YouTuber, he's got a website, Shaziz. I don't know his for real name, but that's the name we call him. And he's got Shaziz.com. And he basically, he's a citizen scientist, and he's figured out, and then another man named Larry Woods, who they both have different types of systems, I think. And I'm not like a science person, so... I mean, they're very sweet to me because they have to bear me asking these insanely moronic questions. But from my understanding of what they, the knowledge they've acquired, is that there are ways to get off the grid. We do not need to be slaves to the master anymore. And I think the focus of both of them is that at some point, the grid is going to collapse. It's just not, it's an impossibility to think it can go on forever because the way they built it. I mean, these nuclear power facilities are going to cause us catastrophic events that are probably going to destroy the world if we don't stop them. I mean, that's the reality.
But it has already happened, and it is at the West Coast. That catastrophic event has already taken place.
And it is ongoing, and it's ongoing. That's the hardest part. Fukushima is ongoing. And so is Hanford. Hanford's ongoing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just think, you know, we think even like Trojan. I was surprised to hear when we did that, our panel with Donna Gilmore, that here in Oregon, there are 34 containers of spent nuclear waste up at Trojan still. 34 containers.
Yeah, that's because there's no place to put it. The salt mines, you know, that they were using in New Mexico had explosions. They are in a panic. There really is no place to put it because there's so much of it, number one, and they're trying to pour it into the Great Lakes. Canada is trying to pour with their few nuclear plants into the Great Lakes. So there's a huge fight from New York, who is very educated, you know, from the storm experience, and Mario Cuomo, who is the father of the present governor in New York. Tremendous battle going on. But, yeah, we are in, and then we have, three meltdowns happened at Fukushima. Not many people realize now they have three cores missing, and they've finally admitted to it. And how does
and it's
a human
still ongoing. It's actually a melt through. These are actually melt throughs, aren't they? I mean, they're really. It's
well,
not like a
floor.
Meltdown. They're in a state of fission. That's why I called this show the age of the age of fission radio show. Tom Ackerman came up with that phrase because really that's where we're at. We are in a state of fission. Those plants, it's getting exponentially worse. It's not getting better, and they're forcing people to move back in there. And I wonder what they're going to do when the people start dropping off like flies, which they
yeah,
will.
Well, not like that, but their food supply, our juvenile salmon primarily, the population feeds on these wonderful cold natural springs right near that electric plant, where the electric plant flushes out the water that cools the radioactive rods. So you have radioactive water coming in. So we've practically eliminated the juvenile salmon population. And the groups that try to save the salmon don't talk about it that often. That's the sad part.
Yeah, that is the really sad part. It's really impossible. Yeah. There was a period of time in the about a year ago when I was reaching out to these people and trying to get them to sort of join forces. Like, hey, you know what? We really got to talk about this because this is the elephant in the room. And nobody, I sent emails and phone calls, not a single phone call back. This is the annoying part. Like, this is the hard part. This is why activism gets, it's so such a slow movement because Each little environmental group or focus doesn't see that we're all connected together. Like the anti-coal people don't see that it really being anti-nuclear and anti-coal is exactly the same conversation. We don't need to suffer. Yeah. We don't need to tolerate nuclear so that we can shut down the coal. We can shut down coal, shut down nuclear, and do just as well.
Yeah, I mean, they put their title on their offices, and the state of Washington has one of the largest sustainability offices in the country. And yet they will not say that nuclear has to go. It's really, I've tried since, 20 years with these huge consortiums of environmental groups to get them to talk about that fact, the fact that plant is still operating. And usually it's tight-lipped because they want to get the global warming is, oh, no, we have to solve the carbon problem.
Yeah, but don't they see that the nuclear waste is contributing to the carbon problem? It's destroying the microscopic organisms in our biology. It's warming the planet. The logic of it, the denial is just incomprehensible. I don't comprehend how they can deny that it's affecting every single living being on this planet.
Right, right. And to talk to someone like that, I mean, I talked to a fellow that just came back from Fukushima. They purposely went over there because they knew they had the same design as that nuclear plant that was functioning, and the typhoon supposedly took it out. Excuse me, but the design was so faulty they couldn't cool it fast enough in any case. And that's the same with this plant operating up at the Tri-Cities. And, you know, now we know the full extent of how far it can reach. But I talked to one of the fellows that's head of one of those PUDs, and you know what he said about his visit to Fukushima? That he had to criticize the Japanese? He said, you know, they only went around on bicycles when they were trying to save those plants. We would have driven SUVs and we could have solved the whole thing. Can you
Did
believe
he really?
That?
No.
I am sure. I made a 5-minute presentation to, you know, they have their executive meetings, which are smaller than they have the whole group. And they only have 28 that are holding the bag, including the city of Portland. Of the 88, as far as paying money into it. We don't get any electricity out of it in Portland, but we pay into it. So we're trying to save that with Robert McCullough's report. But, yeah, he did say that to me. This fellow actually came back with that result and the horror of what that collapse caused, that melt through, as you suggested. And rather than dealing with that, he will only deal with the other aspect of it. Well, we have SUVs. You know, like, how do you even get into that category of thinking, knowing that there's oil problems and carbon problems? I just don't, and I just looked at him. I was so stunned. I didn't know what to say. How do you reach people like this that are making these decisions that will affect generations, and they will not admit to it? They're just saying all the alternatives are far worse. That's their analysis.
What's the alternative? What do they think is far worse? People not having electricity 24 hours a day so that we can. I think this is their attitude, Nancy. I really believe that they recognize, all of these people in the utility industries, they recognize that there is so much nuclear contamination on our planet that is everywhere. I mean, all over our country, there is not practically one square meter of places that is nuclear-free contamination. I think they just realize it doesn't matter. We're so knee-deep in, we may just go for the gold and just keep going until it totally collapses. And I mean, I think it's like very sociopathic. Like I think they've really just come to the conclusion that, well, there's nothing we can do. We might as well just keep going till we can't do it anymore, until the world stops. I can't comprehend them, but I think that's what their brain is.
Yeah, and yet they will do all kinds of things related to global warming. They won't. They say, no, you go off this nuclear plant, you're going to have to go to natural gas automatically or something that causes carbon. You know, and they don't even get the connections of how much it's caused by the nuclear industry as well.
How much carbon is used? There's so much carbon used by the nuclear industry, it's off the charts. They have to haul the stuff. I mean, all the mining practices, getting everything to build it. A nuclear power plant takes 10 years usually to build. You know what I mean?
They're not quick. They'll be gone by that time. Yeah.
So, but think of all the carbon it's used before it's even operating. Once it operates, it's pretty carbon free. But then it only operates for 20 years. And then after that, The continual need for carbon to manage the waste, because they don't generate enough power to power their own electric, their own trucks, their own vehicles, their power station themselves. I mean, Kevin Blanche went down to San Onofre Nuclear Power Plant and was out in the parking lot, and when they were closing it down, he made a video and photographed. They have solar lamps out in their parking lot.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And
while
they're
arguing
add
for nuclear
to
power
healthcare.
Facilities, while they argue for nuclear power facilities, they put up solar lamps.
Yeah. They don't admit to the health care costs. They don't add that in. You know, when you're dealing with radiation, you are opening up the long-term care of people, which is very expensive, and everybody knows that. So what's your problem? And just because you work in the electric industry, you can't stop there. You're responsible for the waste.
Right.
Don't stop that responsibility.
And the health causes. Their co-workers, like, look at these people up in Hanford. The workers are getting sick and dying of cancer, and their bosses could care less. Their problems once they start dying off like flies. The inhumanity of that is off the charts. Like, they're friends. Okay. They're all friends. Everything's all good until you get sick.
Right. Well, and I did a there was an event where we were discussing Hanford waste as well as the electric power issues creating the waste. And there was a fellow that always goes to these meetings, and he says the workers are fine, they're healthy, don't worry about it. And this was probably about 4 years ago over here in Portland, this hearing in movie. And I went over during the break, and I knew this fellow, he knew me, and he had his wife with him. And I said to him quietly, I said, in good conscience, you just heard a worker talk about how sick they are and how many are sick. How can you continue to make these speeches? And his wife tried to strangle me. His wife literally attacked me. I wasn't aggressive in any.
You mean physically? His wife physically attacked you?
She physically attacked me. Yeah.
You're kidding.
She tried to strangle me. Yeah. So I just stepped back. I could feel her energy, and I just stepped back enough that it didn't have any impact of any major kind. And then I just quietly went out to the hall and composed myself, because I'd never had that happen before.
Wow.
But they did allow them to leave the meeting, and then he was allowed to come back to other meetings. So, you know, it's these kind of experiences when you're an activist in this arena. It's really, you come into occasions where you're right on the line of fire. And whether it be complete disbelief, like the guy riding, instead of riding a bike, riding a SUV to solve a problem like Fukushima, and he's running that kind of plant. I mean, it's so surreal. I don't know how to even capture it in words or visually, but a lot has been done in the visual part of it. Irebi has some great cartoons about all that. Because Dr. John Goffman, along with Dr. Helen Caldicott, were exposing, when we did the Shoreham plant never operating, things that had never been talked about in any legal body in the country on Long Island, the North Shore of Long Island. We were opening up the conversation. It was amazing. And then Amory Lovins had already developed the energy efficiency proof that we don't need these things. And he proved with his own house in Colorado with 20 below zero at times and heavy winds, that his house was so well insulated and had all these efficiencies in the equipment he used in the mountains of the Rockies, he didn't need any outside fuel source. He had his own solar and pumps in the earth and all kinds of things. And it works. And it's proven to work in California. And even the Navy now is converting its military plants to solar. Three major bases in San Diego.
Wow, how long has that been going on?
Even the ships. This has been going on, I think, for at least 6 years now. I just talked, because I do this, I go to schools and I talk to students about, if you are going, especially girls, into the military, be aware of the treatment of women in the military and what you are signing up for. We give them advice through the War Resisters League. So I give them a lot of information they never knew about nuclear and also about the treatment of women, and it's been very helpful. So these open up into nuclear power, and then they get better educated, because in schools they don't talk about nuclear power. They don't talk about the very serious accidents that have happened.
No, so, they definitely don't. In fact, they convince people that it's safe and that we're solving the problems of nuclear. That's what they've told. I was at a Bernie Sanders meeting, and some young girl told me, you're just anti-nukers. You just don't know any facts. Like, France has cured their nuclear waste problem. France has no nuclear waste. I'm like, what? Where did you hear that? She's like, my professors told us that. And she's a scientist. She's studying biology at the U of O.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one of her teachers told her that, but it was like, really? Like, I was shocked. She was very angry and she was hostile. That's the thing that I find about the young pro-nukers. They are trained to be hostile and haters. I mean, it is like if you hate nuclear, you're on the wrong side of the fence and you're trying to harm the planet. It's really, it's very surreal, to be honest. Nancy, let me ask you a question about your activism because, well, we only have 30 minutes to discuss this. Maybe we can talk about it again because this is something that's I find partly probably why a lot of people don't get actively engaged. I don't know about you, but I'm really sick of having to know about this stuff. Like, they, you know, I've been doing it 3 years and Hervé Courtois said something to me like, oh, well, I've only been an anti-nuke activist for 6 years. And I'm like, only? I mean, to me, I don't want to be doing this like you just said, 20 years. I've been doing this 20 years. Like, it, that makes my ears fall off. Like, the thought that I have to spend, you know, 20 years of my life convincing these rats to be humane is just incomprehensible to me.
I know. And then I go back to the experience I had in college during the Vietnam War protests, and I went to see Dr. Strangelove. And it so characterized the extent to which the American psyche, particularly in the military, could accept splitting the atom, number one, and number two, the results of it, and how they thought it was wise use. And so I was kind of conditioned by that, and then I was conditioned also by my mother was the treasurer in a small town that was a baby boom town and became a major suburb of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And they took her little job. She had it for 16 years, popularly elected as city treasurer, and we helped count the parking meter pennies and nickels. And they took her job, and they gave it to a city manager, and he got $40,000 a year, and she was only paid $75 a month with six kids. And so she told the city, you're going to have me back in a year because she's going to steal from you. Sure enough, in 1 year, he stole $1 million. And she proved it. They had to call her back to prove it.
Oh,
did they
God.
Reward her? They gave her $75.
What?
So I've been conditioned. I'm not kidding you.
She should have sued them.
At that time, you know, women have fought and fought for fairness. And she was the model example of a very professional woman being underpaid, way overworked, doing three careers at once, raising children, educating her children in a good way, and listening to Joe McCarthy Joe Welch during the McCarthy era. She had Life magazine photos of the lawyer that took down McCarthy. So, of course I'm going to take down the nuclear industry in honor of my mother, because it's very parallel to that expansion, the great American way. We did a nuclear bomb. It was efficient, and it was appropriate because the war would have gone on for 20 more years. You know, that kind of logic? And be right in the face of it.
On. Don't you feel, I actually was thinking about this last night. I actually really, in my core, feel like they moved the nuclear war to the United States. They literally infiltrated our country. They subverted us with the secrecy, creating now an unlimited... Our CIA now has complete control over drones, and they do not have to ask anybody for permission. The CIA can drop drones anywhere and not tell anyone about it, not tell them anyone, not report who they killed, how many people they killed, where they're killing, and what they're doing. The CIA has complete autonomy over its drones. Now, when I read that, I thought, that means that our CIA has control over bombs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who originated that? Do you know who invented it?
The drone? The drone,
He designed it for getting an accurate salmon count. And he's
say this again. Who invented it?
In
say
order
the name
to get
again.
An
excuse me, Nancy, can you just tell me the guy's name again?
You know, I have forgotten his name, but I can get it for you.
Okay, well, I'll Google it while you tell us about it. Go ahead, and I'll Google it.
Okay. He originated out of Hood River, and there's a drone manufacturing plant right across Hood River in White Salmon, Washington. So we did a protest, and people from all over the state, about 400 people, were in the church in Hood River. And we went over and black mark inked names of children that were, have been killed by drones in Iraq at that time. This was probably about 8 years ago we all gathered. But the drones are sourced right here from an inventor in the state of Oregon. And he had no idea. You know, once the military comes in and contracts like that, you can't stop the contracts. So he has that part of him to live with, very hard on him. That's what the use became for. Instead of trying to figure out how to save salmon and make sure we're tracking some of the sources, it went to the worst possible use all over the world, which is horrible, and in our own country. So we really have to change our thinking at many levels.
Well, the Googles say that the Austrians did it. That's what the Googles are saying. And they're relating it back to World War II. Yeah, they're saying that we had them for a long time.
Yeah. Well, they would, of course, say that. But he's the one that...
Warmongers. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. Yep. So, but I can get his name for you, and I will follow through on that. But that was a provocative day. And you're talking about the Pope now. Pope Francis, he's on it as far as nuclear power, any use of nuclear. And I think he came out on drones recently in his ecclesiastical in 2015. That's when he came out on the nuclear. So the Catholic churches should be ringing their bells and should be in every liturgy, I guess they call it, their masses, talking to the people about getting rid of it as quickly as possible. And you go, and I've gone around to the churches in Vancouver, and some of the Catholic people that are on the public utility boards, and they ignore the Pope. I mean, it's that bad. It's just like you go to church. Who are you listening to? Your own God? I guess so.
Are you saying that the Pope, I have to say I missed that, the Pope came out and said that nuclear was bad? I thought he just made a comment that we should move away from it.
Well, I got the quote here. It says, in the face of possible risks to the environment, which may affect the common good now and in the future, decisions must be made based on a comparison of the risks and benefits foreseen for the various possible alternatives. Some projects can profoundly affect the quality of life of an area due to very different factors or the effects of nuclear energy use.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was, I've got a copy of it. I've distributed it all over Vancouver. When the people come out of the Catholic Church.
He doesn't exactly say no to nuclear power.
Pope doesn't speak that way. They just call to the false conscience. And he is. He's everybody knows it's long term. Everybody
knows it's
long
term. That's actually not true. You know what? They tell you not to use birth control.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
not true.
I'm talking about, but it's clear, he has come out and been very specific.
You know, maybe that's what we ought to do, Nancy, is petition the Pope to speak out exactly, more specifically, and speak to the industrial military complex. You know, they have big, I mean, this is the issue. That leads us into a whole other conversation about the Catholic Church. So let's get off that and get back to where we were going on the drones and on the... nuclear stuff, because my question to you is, though, fundamentally, did you expect when you first engaged in this that you'd be spending 20 years of your life, and you're still doing it, you haven't stopped, the mission isn't accomplished? This is where I'm very task oriented. I think that's why I'm probably an enrolled agent. Like, I help people with tax problems, as I get things done. I like to have an assignment and boom, get it done. You know what I mean? So for me, I'm the idea of, and you know what? The idea of giving up is also not an option. Kind of like you, I suppose, right?
Yeah, the beauty of it is that it's self-imploded. The nuclear industry, nobody orders them. You know, only dictators order them now in other countries. Yeah. Or, you know, we originally forced it on Japan through subsidies. And it was our engineers and our designs. Our Fukushima, they're made here. They were created here. So
Well,
I,
India is
I,
building them. That's a democracy, so-called.
pardon me?
India is building them.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are aspects of the government there that are definitely, just in spite of Satyajit Roy and all those wonderful people, Arundhati Roy, that you have that element that once you get that money in the bank, that segment gets away with things like that. Yeah, it's true. I mean, our culture has been spread, and it's not a healthy one. So, but what pleases me is that so many young people get it right away before you'd have to explain, explain, explain. And
Yeah,
but
that's
the
true. That is a true
yeah.
statement. That you don't have to tell them. I mean, but they do. Some of them do have a particular curiosity. But the thing that I like to relate to people is the negative effects of their health. Because most people, I believe most people, if we got our blood tested for nuclear contamination, we'd show high levels of something or other. And then there is real studies that have been conducted that shows their correlation to our medical conditions, to our exposure to these radioactive contaminants that are in the air. We're saturated, we're glowing. This is why there's 100% denial. This is tell our audience what happened to your vehicle. This is shocking. Because you hear how Nancy is a continued activist. Like she goes around to schools, she goes to churches, she goes to utility. She's getting to the core of the people, the decision makers. She's changing the culture, changing the minds. And I want to thank you for that, Nancy, for being a leader and showing us how to do that, and being willing to come on the radio and talk about what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your radio shows. It's so important. As Greg Palast is having a big celebration today. He's a good friend of mine, and he helped with the. He just came out of College of Economics opposite Greenspan,
So
and
put in a
arguing with
good word
Greenspan.
for me, because I have written him, and he's one of those people that just ignores me. I'm
Well,
like,
it isn't that he's ignoring you. He is. His health issues are pretty serious. He had quadruple bypass, right?
No.
Yeah, this was 3 years ago, and he had gone to the Gulf, and the dispersants that they used in the Gulf after
That's
that
right.
deep
Got him
spill.
sick. Exactly. Plus Fukushima on top of all of it. He got bombarded. He was flying around, and so he was up in the radioactive cloud that's floating around up there.
So he had a big celebration. Jackson Browne and Bonnie Raitt threw the big concert, sold out, $200 a ticket in LA, and it's happening tonight. But it's in honor of contributing to his investigative fund because he's still going in spite of all that. So, I say to young people, how in the world, if I was their age now, I don't know what I'd do, really. I mean, there's so many things that they have to consider to try to even survive. And it's a tough call. I tell you that. I've got a daughter,
I
33
think
years old.
well, I think people need to understand our history. People need to get educated to understand this is not a new game. This is the what we've been dealing with is the same. It's the same story since World War II. This is why I tell you, I think they brought the war to the United States. Like they didn't want to end the war. It was quite profitable. I have this movie called Half-Life, and an old documentary about the Marshall Islands, and you should see the eyes of the generals. It's interviews with the generals, and they're watching the bombs and watching the people, and that you can see it takes them through the progression of like over the year and a half of this testing, maybe 10 years. I have no idea how long it was, but you could see the progression of these guys' faces, like the bloodlust that's in their eyes. They have no regard for human life. None.
It's scary. And but at the same time, you have someone like Dr. Helen Caldicott, who testified at
Yeah.
our Long Island way back in the 70s, and she's still alive and kicking, definitely
She was
kicking.
at our panel. I mean, it was awesome. She's 80 years old. You know what
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I
Is
mean,
that
and
on the.
she, you know what she said? Do not go to
Yeah.
Japan. You know?
Right.
I mean, do not eat fish. Be careful of where you get your rice.
Yep. Well, here, I hate to say this, but I went to McMenamin's also as part of this campaign because you would think that that kind of a restaurant would be socially conscious enough to alert people because guess where their hops grow? And most hops for beer in the Northwest grow, where the
Yes,
winds
I
carry the
know.
radiation. The winds carry the radiation from the nuclear plant, that old nuclear plant. You
I
would
know.
think be advertising all over the place, like the Wilsons did, the Solaflex Wilson's did a fantastic job, and that's what led to the company, one of the reasons, to close it. They decided themselves it didn't have to be a ballot initiative succeeding, thank God. You know, I mean, in the sense that it got done anyway. But, yeah, the Wilsons did a fabulous job, and that's what McMenamins easily could do. And I haven't been able to reach them either to consider it, because they're supposed to do, to have Kennedy School in my neighborhood community interest events in order to be there. Well, that's huge community interest, so I'm still working on that.
Have you had any interest in your own community of people joining forces with you to, you know, to get engaged and to people in your neighborhood, like your community around you, your near community? Are they at all aware of the danger that we're in? Because this is really it. We're in grave danger, folks. Helen Caldicott has said this many times. The patient is in the emergency room and in critical condition.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have done several community meetings and let Portland know, hey, you're not off the hook. We're part of all this. We're paying into it for nothing. We don't get electricity. We don't get anything. And they're shocked. They have no clue. So
this is what we need to do, Nancy, and maybe this is one of the things we can open up on a, you know, we could do a call-in show or something. I don't know. We can have people give me a call, and we can ask them, you know, like, what is it going to take for people to actively engage with their elected officials? Because that's, we have to deal with the public electricity utility people and our elected officials. We can't just, you can't just protest in the street. To me, protests are almost like dead, really. I went out and protested, and Kevin Finnegan on 311, there was nobody there. I couldn't believe nobody was taking heed of the fact that Fukushima has been ignored for 6 years. No activists, no big activist group. I mean, I nobody wanted to get engaged. It was like, yeah, no.
Well, they're frozen. They're frozen in time. They can't cope with it. That's the sad part.
Well, the thing is, this is what my goal is, look, we got to stop being fear-based. Like, we must embrace living and accept the reality. And until we look at this and say, wow, man, this is what they're doing, and it's not even stopped. Yeah. How do we get it stopped? We could stop it like that.
Yeah, the thing that I will counter you a little bit with is that the schools are turning out, instead of OSU promoting that small modular reactor, you know about that, right? It's little refrigerators under that are going to work nuclear wonders. Same old bullshit. Well, they didn't get any money. We killed it in the legislature here about 2 years ago, and we just killed it in Washington when they tried it again.
Idaho, they're building in Idaho. I read that.
Guess where the money is going? Guess where that money that's not being spent here is going? It's going to energy efficiency. So people are doing all kinds of efficiencies in their home. They still have to pay the private utilities a certain amount that they shouldn't. And they have tightened up their weatherization. They've responded to all the global warming alerts. They've responded to making it a cleaner result in the environment. People respond. They've done this in this country. This is in spite of the political leadership. And we can continue to do it. If California can do it, and Germany, Warren Chancellor, after Fukushima, 5 nuclear plants are in process of closing. I think they closed 2 already. And they can come over here, have her on your show. Call up the German Chancellor, she's a woman, and ask her, how are you doing this? Put your engineers on. We want to do all this because we've got engineers that are fantastic in our state. And we can create jobs. It would be a very positive and transformational show. That's what I would do.
Who are you telling me to contact? Tell me this person's name.
A woman. And she has the same, Germany has the same weather as we do, pretty much. And everybody says, oh, you can't do solar in Oregon because you Not true. Not true. So they do it. And they've been doing it ever since Fukushima. She would be a phenomenal leader in the world to be on the radio when we are all set in our university. We're training people. We've got the resources. We're just not putting money, we're just throwing it down the toilet with this Energy Northwest, and we got to stop it, and that's the way to stop it. And they are in California. My friends in California, Ed Smeloff of the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, and also Dan Berman of Who Owns the Sun, and several other people by just doing it. And that's what we got to do. We got to pass a state law similar to California's that people can have customer choice, required acquisitions, you know, and take care of it. And that's what they did. So if you get the woman with the actual experience, the weather people can't discount what you're saying because Germany is proving it every day. And they want to because they've been through friggin' threats of nuclear war and horrible war situations right on their own territory. And America has not experienced that as completely as Europe has.
That's
so they're
true.
Much wiser and quicker.
Well, but you know what? France didn't do it. But you know why I think Germany did it immediately? Because their government doesn't ever want to be in the position of saying, we didn't know ever again. Like, it's, that's what they said after World War II about the Holocaust, right? Well, we just didn't know. No, you knew. So this time they were not going to have to say that again. I think that is really what drove that decision. Because France, other countries were just as exposed, really, as hard. There was many, you know, Norway, a lot of Sweden, they were hit hard. But did they shut down theirs? No. But I think it's the psychology of what happened to the psyche of the people after World War II. It's like the United States, the denial that is rampant and the lying, the constant lying in this country. The president of the United States lies. Like, and we're spending money investigating his lies. And then it's just... It's beyond, but this is what I'm saying. Like, it's this, that same psyche is, this is what happened after World War II.
Yeah.
That whole lie, that whole, the cycle of lying. This is why the nuclear industry is, you know, they have power, but they're just liars. They kill people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, but I mean, the potential there is really terrific and positive. And Mayor Adams had a sustainability worldwide conference come in. And it was phenomenal. Denmark, Norway. Actually, they took pictures of me and put me on the Statoil Norwegian Company's magazine because they had a test, pilot test at Bonneville proving that fuel cells within a home, you know, you can have it on your own property, is so energy efficient that you don't need to require the grid. And so they proved it. But, you know, of course, Bonneville has a guy that's pro-nuclear. He's out of Enron. Did you know that guy is out of Enron, the administrator? No wonder he won't answer the phone. Yeah, he's a big upper corporate guy from Enron. And he just slid over to the Bonneville position.
The administrator of Bonneville Power?
Yes.
Wow.
I just found that out about 6 months ago. That's how quiet they keep these things. Yeah, but it's also the guilt of the environmental groups that show up for this Focus 2028 that Bonneville is doing, and they don't talk about the nuclear power plant. Can you believe that? And there are how many organizations? Over 200, I think, as part of that. Business people, environmental people, all talking together about the future of energy in this region. So what's that all about? These are people that know about the wise decision of the chair of PGE and all the initiative processes, the people wanting it to change. And so here we go. There's correctability easily done here. So, but yeah, I mean, if we were to do a show like that, it would really ignite some of the people that really need to get those jobs out there. And you say energy efficiency doesn't help the economy. Germany is the healthiest economy in Europe. So you can't say that either.
Who are you suggesting that I get on the air then? Do you know of a person specifically?
I'm going to see if I can get a hold of through Arnie Gunderson. Just call Arnie. I'm going to call Arnie. You know him, right? Fairwinds Associates.
No.
He was a nuclear engineer before Three Mile Island.
I mean,
Island.
I know of Arnie Gunderson, but I've not called him. Not ever called him.
Yeah, I mean, he got out, and he started telling the truth. He's a whistleblower now, and a big help to all the organizations that want to get off these nuclear plants, these old nuclear plants. But he could give you a contact, I'm sure, to the head of the government in Germany.
Okay, well, let's talk after the air, and you can help me hook me up on that one, because I've never talked to him. I did talk to his wife one time about doing something, and they wanted to be paid a lot of money. And I'm like, wow, that's way out of my league. So
I'll call him today, give him a kind of a heads up.
Okay.
He and I discovered about 10, I guess it's about 5 years ago now, we were opposite each other. He was working for the people, the utility company Loco, that I was fighting on the Shoreham plant. And I was trying to end the project. And then he got out, realizing how horrible the whole thing was and what lies they were telling. He got out, and he went to be a whistleblower, formed his own group. The Clamshell Alliance, he helped them, and oh, boy.
Well, I think so, that speaks to why he seems to me, like, this is where I'm at. I mean, no offense, Nancy, but this is what I think. I think the reason that we have not shut them down is the people that are anti-nuclear are just too freaking timid, because they get intimidated because things happen to you negatively. These people are murderers. I mean, Patty Amino had the brakes of her the cord to her brakes cut. If she didn't know how to drive, she would have killed herself.
Sure. Well, I don't think Arnie is in that category because, excuse me, when Fukushima happened, and before that, he's testified before commissions all over the world in this country, and his life
is
at risk.
Well, do you know why? This is no offense, but this is why. I mean, Arnie Gunderson is not going to unequivocally speak against the murderers at nuclear power. He's going to say, well, I suggest this and I suggest that. That's why, this is why, frankly, there's a lot of animosity in the burgeoning anti-nuclear community, because we have people who feel like they have to tiptoe. We don't want to have to tiptoe. We've had enough murder. It's enough. This stuff is bad. It's bad. Fukushima is going on 6 years. We have uranium poisoning all over this country. Our water is bad. It is enough. I mean, this is where I feel like with especially the scientific community. I mean, Dr. Caldicott, frankly, is one of the few who will speak out vociferously.
Yeah, well, but Arnie came on when those were melting down, and he called it right away. And they shut him down. They shut down his communications. They did every effort to interrupt him.
That's right. And they will do that. I mean, and that's why people don't. This is one of the things that people have to understand about the anti-nuke community. Yeah. You can't be mad at each other for not doing anything or good enough, because really, you're not hearing about what people are doing because they bury it. One of the things that I discovered over the course of doing this radio show and attempting to reach out to different communities and find people that want to speak out is, guess what? Yep. There are a lot of people. It's just we don't hear about it because it's suppressed.
Well, in Arnie's career, there are millions of people because they've canceled. Countries have canceled their contracts that the U.S. has promoted. So we probably have about 20 less nuclear plants in the world as a result.
Okay, so then I apologize to Arnie Gunderson. I completely forgive him for everything then. And I apologize for speaking ill of him, because I've been super spitting nails about this. But okay, thank you for that enlightenment and for our sharing that with our listeners. Listen, Nancy, we have about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, he saved spots in Long Island. He really did.
Well,
and Governor Mario.
Nancy, we have about 30 seconds left. You've been listening with Nancy Newell, a citizen activist here in Portland. Totally awesome. I hope you'll come back, Nancy.
Okay.
And put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action, and you know what? Lean into it, get involved, and we've got to stand, you know, move our elected officials to stopping this. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.